I have a question to start with. We are a people who worship Jesus. Yes? Marvelous. We don't just admire him. We don't just respect him. We don't think he was just an admirable bloke who was kind and helped little old ladies across the road. We worship Jesus because he is the Son of God. Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. Yes? Oh, it's revival. Because of what he said about himself, like Heather so eloquently said last week, some of the I am sayings that we've been looking at, I am, Jesus says, the bread of life, who feeds your hunger. So feed on me, he says. I am the light of the world. So you don't need to walk in darkness because I've given you that light, he says. I am from above. I am in my Father, and my Father is in me. We believe in that Jesus, yes? For those reasons and for many other reasons. But in some parts of the world, that's not popular. We know the stories of the millions of brothers and sisters in the world who are persecuted and martyred for their faith. So what's that got to do with tonight's theme? I am the gate, which is what Jesus said. Our biblical passage tonight is just a wee small part of the Good Shepherd discourse. George will be looking at that further next week, and I've tried really, really hard not to steal his thunder before them. Sorry if I do. I apologise. Please forgive me. The Good Shepherd passage in John chapter 10 is really a continuation of what had happened in John chapter 9, the story of Jesus healing the man born blind. You might know it already. It's a really long passage, so I'm not going to read it out to you. A man having been born blind receives his sight, he is healed by Jesus. He confesses his faith in Jesus being the one who was sent from God. But the religious leaders, the Pharisees, all declare that Jesus cannot be God, and they persecute the man who'd been healed. Later on, the man meets Jesus again, and he asks him if he's believed. And the man says, yes, I believe. The man who was born blind can now see. And the story is actually about the religious leaders who think they can see, but actually are the ones who are blind all along. So keep that thought in your head. It's about what you believe as we open our passage tonight. So let's read John chapter 10, verses 1 to 11. Not all of the chapter, because George is there next week and he'll tell me off. So John chapter 10. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him, because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they didn't understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. This passage is all about who Jesus is and who he is to us. What is offered if we believe in him. And Jesus continues the story of the man born blind with this illustration that everybody would be familiar with. Sheep and shepherds, sheep and sheep pens. It's not the sheep pens. We're ready for the, yeah. It's not the sheep pens. Hang on, and we have a picture. Thank you. Next one. It's not the sheep pens that you would be familiar with in if you ever watch One Man and His Dog, or whatever it's called now, which look a bit like that. That's not what we're talking about. Wooden fenced sheep pens, they would look a bit like this. Do we have a picture? Oh, no, not yet. No, we'll do that in a minute. They would usually... I've forgotten what's next. They would usually be stone-built, more often than not, without a roof. Sometimes a cave in the hills would be used. There'd be one opening. There wouldn't be a front door and a back door. There'd be just one opening for the sheep to come in. So the shepherd would protect the sheep during the night from the thieves and robbers and wild animals. And they'd need protection because, I don't know if you know, but sheep are stupid. Oh, they are. They are. They are. They're not the most intelligent of animals, sheep. And the Bible refers to us as sheep. It's not the best compliment in the world, frankly. The Sunday school picture of Jesus rescuing the shepherd, literally leaning over a precipice to save a sheep, is an accurate picture because sheep will follow their noses off a cliff. And if you think I'm being really harsh on sheep, let me tell you a story. It comes from the newspaper, so it must be right. From a rural part of Turkey. I will read it to you. It is a factual account. It all started with one self-destructive leap. Shepherds eating breakfast outside a small town in Turkey were surprised to see a lone sheep jump off a nearby cliff and fall to its death. They were stunned, however, when the rest of the nearly 1,500 sheep in the herd followed, each leaping off the same cliff. When it was all over, the local newspaper reported that, quote, 450 of the sheep perished in a billowy white pile. What a poetic quote. Apparently those who jumped from the middle and at the end survived because they bounced. They got a soft landing. I love that. The sheep pile got higher and they just went, boom. Fantastic. In the absence of a shepherd, they were led to their destruction, the wrong direction, and it cost them their life. Sheep don't pick their direction. The good shepherd leads them to safe pastures. We know that in biblical times, shepherding was not a glamorous occupation. Life was hard. They were out in all weathers. It was difficult, often away from home, miles and miles away, trying to find fresh pasture. But regardless of the conditions, the shepherd's job was to be responsible for the care of their sheep, to protect them from wild animals. And at night, the shepherds put their flocks in the sheep pen and would lie across the opening of the sheep pen. Oh, that's the picture of the sheep falling off the cliff. Thank you. What's next? Oh, thank you. I haven't told you what comes next. Are we? We'll see as we go along. So the shepherd would lie across. That's the sheep pen. That's the one we meant earlier on, that one there. That's what it looks like. So the shepherd would, have we got a shepherd? There we go. The shepherd would lie across the entrance of the sheep pen. He'd act as physically as the gate himself to protect the sheep, to prevent them from straying out, and to prevent anyone else or anything else from entering in. And what he'd do, he'd check them as they came home for the night. So he'd anoint them with oil for their wounds. He'd give them water if they were thirsty. He'd check them for mites, that sort of thing. All Psalm 23 stuff. And when they were all safe and in, he lies down and becomes the door himself, the gate that keeps them safe. That's who Jesus says he is. The gate, or the door, as some scriptures say. I am the gate that keeps people safe. I am the gate that keeps them secure. I am the gate that keeps them healthy. John 10 verse 1 says this. We heard it earlier. I assure you that anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief or a robber, for the shepherd enters through the gate. The sheep hear the voice of the shepherd and they follow him because they recognize his voice and they know that he will lead them to pasture, whereas they don't recognize the voice of a stranger. The robbers kill, Jesus gives life. Now in context, remember earlier on I said, keep the man born blind in your head. The point is clear. Jesus is talking about himself. He says, I am the shepherd and I am the gate. I am the only voice that you are meant to be listening to. The only voice and way to salvation. Do you believe, he said, the question to the man born blind. And that's the challenge of the passage. This is not about ickle, fluffy white sheep. It's about a choice. And to some extent, it's a black and white choice. It's a yes or it's a no to the Good Shepherd. The man born blind says yes and hears the voice of the shepherd and follows him. Whereas Jesus says the religious establishment are like thieves and robbers, and sheep do not listen to their voice. He says, follow them and it leads to death, whereas follow me and you have life, and life abundantly. I am the gate, says Jesus. And the gate is the only way through. The only way home to the sheep pen. And the only way where you're going to be safe. I am the gate. There is no other way, he says. For me, one of the best bits about going on a foreign holiday, we don't get to go on many foreign holidays, but when we do, the bit I like the best is the airport. I love an airport. It really annoys Paul because I want to go hours and hours before we need to go because I love the atmosphere of an airport. Once you get through the security gates, heaven opens up. There is the duty-free. Not for the alcohol, not bothered about that, but copious supplies of industrial size Toblerones that you only ever see at an airport. Huge vats of M&Ms that you only get in duty-free, and you get to try on loads of expensive perfume that you can never afford. I love an airport, but it only happens once you're through the gates. And that's what Jesus is saying. You haven't got a Scooby what life is like until you get through the gates. But there's no other way but through me. Then you'll know what life is all about. The gate or the door, it's a symbol of salvation. That's what this is about. And Jesus is saying, there is a choice and you have a response. Luke 13, verses 22 to 25 says this. Then Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, Lord, are only a few going to be saved? He said to them, make every effort, he said, to enter through the narrow door. Because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, sir, open the door for us. But he will answer, I don't know you or where you come from. Ouch. It's a choice, says Jesus. Matthew 7, verse 13 to 14 says this. Jesus says, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few will find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. Strong stuff. It's all about a choice. It's about a choice in what you believe. We live in an age of competing faiths and ideologies, a supermarket pick and mix of spirituality. And so how do we hear the words of John chapter 10 tonight? Jesus is saying, I am the only way. And I believe that. And it's not popular because it sounds arrogant. Nowadays, in our society, in our community, you can have a bit of everything. You can have a bit of New Age, mix it with a little bit of Buddhism, a smattering of something else, and some Christianity at Christmas because it's nice to go and sing some carols. And you're all okay. No, Jesus says, I am the gate. If you want to be a sheep, you have to trust the shepherd, says Jesus. And if you want to be in the sheep pen, you have to go through the gate, he says. So have you trusted Jesus as your saviour, your rock, your redeemer? Or are you hedging your bets with a pick and mix of self-reliance, other competing thoughts? If you want to, and you haven't already, speak to me, speak to the prayer team afterwards. We'll be delighted to introduce you to the shepherd of the sheep. Jesus says, I am the gate. No other gate is available. And he's not the gate I want to slam into people's faces or lock and bolt as if he's some personal possession. But he is a gate that is open in invitation. When I deliver my Christian aid envelopes every May, which we'll soon hopefully be doing, you soon work out which gates and doors offer welcome, which gates and doors have Rottweilers behind them. Which gate or door has one of those really sharp letterboxes that snap your nails off? And which gates or doors have someone smiley behind them who miraculously will say, I've got your envelope ready for you already. Ah! Angels singing. I like it when we get to those gates. And that's the Jesus I follow, a Jesus of hospitality and a Jesus of welcome and encounter. But to get to that Jesus of welcome, you say yes to what he offers. And I want to serve a church of welcome and hospitality, not a church that keeps its doors shut. We're called to fling them wide open. There's a reason why we're making the front of our doors transparent. It's not just because they'll look nice. It's because of what we believe about what Jesus says he is. Because we know that God's calling us to be a church that shouts welcome and speaks positively about the difference that faith makes, that knows how to live because we know that we're forgiven, and knows how to love and to restore dignity. A church that's home in the very best sense of the word, and through whose doors God's beauty is glimpsed. But it all starts with a yes. And sometimes, as my friend Mark Greenwood said at Christmas, we have our big yes, we have our little yes, and sometimes we have a healthy maybe. Do we need to reaffirm that yes to Jesus? Or are we hedging our bets? Maybe we've said we believed, but actually we now trust in our own strength more. Jesus says, I am the gate, the door itself. The one who stands at the door is the risen Christ, in whom there is fullness of life and abundancy. Do you believe? Do you say your yes? Yes or no to Jesus? Amen.